Welcome to the Daily Canon Podcast.
This post was written by Paul Williams a couple of weeks ago, around about the time we were getting stomped on by Bayern Munich, and it's read by Lee Hurley. Get more features like this and a ton of other great stuff at dailycanon.com. 4 weeks ago, after a short illness, I lost my grandfather. It's been a rather horrible start to 2017, and one which has seen me stepping back from column duties here at DCHQ as me and my family regroup and begin to try and come to terms with our loss. I used to wonder if the only thing keeping my grandfather, or as everyone else knew him, Ronnie, alive was the prospect of Arsenal without Arsene Wenger. He was a keen golfer until cruelly cut down by a broken leg just before his 91st birthday, the oldest playing member at West Middlesex Golf Club, don't you know? The physical injury manifested itself in mental decline, and Ronnie spent a large part of the last 5.5 years of his life forgetting things. And so he forgot about the 2 doubles won by Wenger, or the unbeaten season of 04. And he would therefore ask me things like, "Don't you think it's time they sack Wenger?" Or, "What has Wenger ever done for Arsenal?" And it was always Wenger, never Arsene, never Mr. Wenger, never the manager. I think that was part of the formal way my grandfather had been brought up to make his own way in the world. As for my grandfather's questions, I understood where they came from. Perhaps not when he first started asking them more than a few years ago, but over time. I mean, when you know you're in the injury time of your own life, it must lend an urgency to the things that you'd like to see happen. I've sort of taken it for granted that Arsenal are bound to win the Champions League at some point before I die, but what if they don't? What if 2004 was as good as it's ever going to get for all us Arsenal fans? That very notion seemed bonkers as we watched our team cavort around White Hart Lane on April 25th, 2004. 13 years later, how do you feel about such a thought now? 13 years, that's a lot of golf played and or watched. Therefore, I can't claim surprise that a man who probably forgot more than I'll ever know in the last 6 years of his life had forgotten what made Arsene Wenger once such a revered figure. In truth, it seems like Ronnie wasn't alone. I can read Arsene's comments and watch flashes of wit in his interviews and think, ah, that's the man I remember and love. Increasingly though, what I do when I see Arsene appear on the TV to deliver his latest sermon to the great unwashed is, well, I turn him off. You see, I don't believe in Arsene anymore, and I don't think the majority of the playing squad, he and he alone assembled, do either. It's not an understatement to say that the majority of Arsenal fans who blog have turned against him either, and I don't think that has happened because there is some sort of master plan that we can't see, nor is it some sort of hate campaign driven by the agenda of a small minority of disaffected fans. People are correctly using the evidence of their own eyes and returning a judgment that finds Arsene Wenger incapable of delivering us what we all want to see, an Arsenal competitive at the top of the game, an Arsenal that goes away to our rivals in the newly christened Big Six with more than a puncher's chance of winning the game, an Arsenal that goes away in the Champions League and doesn't get torn to shreds by the first good team they come across. Today as I type this, I'm thinking that I'd quite like to see an Arsenal team that were capable of defending a long straight ball properly, that's all. Or an Arsenal that's switched on enough to realise that leaving Sadio Mane with the freedom of Liverpool might not be the best idea. Or even just switched on, you know, from the first minute. The players have all been pretty vocal in their backing of the manager, yet they don't seem capable of putting in a performance for him. How weird is that? The one player who seems to have a problem at the moment is Alexis Sanchez. Arsene has nixed reports of a training ground bust-up with the Chilean, but I'm not sure how many people believe that, particularly in the context of Alexis being dropped at Liverpool. Whatever about the Chilean's poor form, he is still our man, most likely. Dropping him in favour of a statuesque injections up the bum Giroud was a move that was never going to go down well. Jaw-dropping, Jeff Stelling called it. He'd better be in plaster, said the magic man. The only justification for this move would have been Arsenal winning the game against Liverpool. Instead, we were 1 down after 10 minutes, 2 down by half-time, and Alexis was summoned to dig us out of yet another self-created hole. And what do you know if he didn't just go ahead and set Danny Welbeck up for a very well-taken goal shortly afterwards? To be clear, I'm all for the manager clamping down on bad behaviour, and it's obvious that Alexis has become an angry, frustrated figure at the club. But I don't blame him for that, nor would I blame him for wanting to leave. He signed for Arsenal, presumably on the basis that we would mount a challenge for major honours. Yet typing this today, we feel as far away from them as we did 3 years ago. The blame for that lies with the manager. They're his players, his tactics, his recruitment. But it also lies with the board, who are apparently happy to tread water in their 60,000-seat cash machine. I've said it before, and I make no apology for saying it again. I harbour genuine doubt that this board can anoint the right successor to Arsene Wenger. I just don't believe that's reason enough to stick with something that's clearly not working anymore. you like this, please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, and it really helps us out if you could leave a review in iTunes or with whatever podcast app that you're using. Recommend us to a friend. Check us out on dailycanon.com and say hello on Twitter at dailycanon. Thanks very much.